Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, dog? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm all good.
Oh, good. Yo, actually, I think this is the crispest call I've ever had on this app, yo. So
Nice,
I don't know
nice.
what you got, Cody, but yo, you already got something going on,
Hey,
man.
we got that
Yep, got the magic touch.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Well, this is the Winning State of Mind, and thank you once again for tuning in. I gotta say, wow, I've been kind of streaky with my podcast, no lie, can't lie. It's been a lot more of me prioritizing, and this is something we can definitely talk about and we'll definitely end up touching base on later. Prioritizing one thing at a time instead of trying to do multiple things at a time. That's where I'm at, and it's paying off a lot. I feel like I'm really learning a lot, and I feel like a whole lot better in the fact that mentally I feel productive and I'm not really beating myself up as much. So doing that has been one of the greatest things for me of 2019 thus far. But these are all going to be things we'll all hear from you soon. So without further ado, this is a great colleague and friend, I can say that from meeting him at Income Store from his week here, he's really shown to be one of the most remarkable people I've ever gotten to meet and actually befriend. And seeing someone like Cody is the people that you only see on Instagram that are like pulling up in their Lambo, but they're also giving hundreds of dollars to the food bank. So I don't know. Single ladies get you a Cody Dover,
Hey.
without no more games. Cody Dover, okay.
Let's get it. Hey,
Woo,
man, it's
woo.
crazy. We've only met one time and it feels like I can call you one of my good friends now. It's crazy the connection we made, but we
Yeah,
did it.
definitely, man. Same, I agree. And just so much value, honestly. I think that's one of your greatest assets, man, is that you just provide so much value, bro. So just kind of explain, who is Cody Dover, man? Like, who is that guy?
Man, honestly, I'm just a genuine person who loves to help other people. I was once helped by a lot of people, my parents, family, friends, whatever, and now it's my turn to give back. I've done a lot of self-education throughout the current couple of years. When I got out of school, I knew that the end of graduation wasn't the time to stop learning. It was the time to, in fact, start educating yourself on many of things. And I knew that, to make a fortune, to make an impact in the world, there's so many different things and avenues to do that just resorting to a 9-to-5 was not it. So I'm just a young entrepreneur trying to make an impact to other people. I know a lot of people have issues with their li limiting beliefs and just their mind from society, what society has brought upon us. And just trying to help people figure that out for themselves, because we all have unique abilities and talent within ourselves, but people are just so limited to a scarcity mindset, or just they don't know their true potential. And so I try to bring it out of everybody. I do talk a lot about real estate because that's something that I've been doing for the last couple of years, as I can educate a lot of people on. But without forget real estate. You have your mind, you can educate your or just your whole body, this whole self-development thing. You hear it all the time. And I know that that's has really been a huge part of my life, is educating myself to better myself. And so I try to, my motto is, what's 1% more that you can do this week that you didn't do last week, because a lot of people think business is all about hustle and grind, and you can go about it at your own pace, but it's all what you want to do. So my thing is, let's focus on the week ahead. If you follow me on social media, I always talk about Sunday nights from Monday mornings. Monday being my day one, so I go out there and see what did I do last week and what can I do 1% better this week. Because I'm always in a battle of myself trying to just really become the best version.
And I think at some point you begin to realize that the real journey of being successful is not so much what you do with your hands, but it's what you do inside of your mind.
It's, right, yeah. And, you know, success can mean a lot of different things to many people. You know, to me, it's just about being fulfilled, because money comes and goes. But money is not everything. It does provide more freedom for you, and more you're allowed to be of more service to other people mm-hmm. when you have money. But in the end, it's all about happiness. You know, I try to be fulfilled every day and just let go of expectations and outcomes, so that I can focus on just being the best, best version of myself that I can be, without expecting anything in return.
Talk about not having expectations, because that's something that I put into practice myself. And I got to say, that's one of the best choices I've ever made in my entire life. So just kind of describe how you get to that conclusion. Yeah. Like, you know, that's something that would be beneficial to you.
Right. You know, a lot of people, when they give, they expect something back in return. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be giving because you're trying to help somebody improve their situation. Right. Not because you're trying to get something back. And just like with anything, like with asking of any type of, hey, can you help me do this to a friend? I'm not expected for them to say yes, or I wouldn't have asked in the first place.
Right.
You know, so that kind of hit me hard when I asked a really good friend to do something very simple for me, and he turned me down. And that just got me thinking, why should I fret and, you know, frown upon him turning me down when he doesn't have to do it in the first place? So that, you know, that was me expecting him to do something. And from that moment on, I was like, oh man, like I'm gonna start using that on my friends, you know, just because I can be and do whoever I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't want you or anybody else to expect me to come through when you need me, because at the end of the day, it's me, and you know, I'm gonna do what's best for me.
Right, right. And it's so funny that we're on this topic now, because I was watching a video on YouTube today by Brandman Sean, who is a music industry marketer. You may have heard of him. He's very intelligent, and he talks all about how to gain traction and followers on social media. And everything. And he had a video I was watching, and mostly clicked on it because it had Tyler. And I was like, man, Tyler Creator is my guy, so got to click on this video. He didn't talk about him, but he said three things you should never do when trying to build a fan base and market your music. Number two was... Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah. We're good now.
All right, man. That's strange, yeah.
Are you able to keep some of that?
Yeah, definitely. I'll see what I can do editing the audio wise. I'll dig into that this weekend.
Okay.
Man, I was really trying to hold on to what I was saying.
You're going about Tyler the Creator and YouTube and...
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were talking about, thank you, the fact that we think people owe us something when in reality, like, they owe us nothing. Like, that changed everything for me too. It's just crazy how we're programmed that way, man.
Right, man. Yeah. I mean, just us as humans in general just have so many thoughts going on, and we think we know something when, you know, in reality we don't. So it's just, it really put into perspective to me when that friend turned me down on something that was very simple. And you know, I'm not the one to get mad and upset. I try to look at it as, well, how can I use this moving forward? And that was, you know, not attaching the outcome to any situation.
Definitely. Now, I think one of the most important things that anybody on the path to success should do is really begin to practice humility and realize that they don't know everything, and realize that if you treat something like a beginner, you learn and advance quicker. I mean, look at newbie gains in the gym, right? People that just start working out gain more quicker and more quality than someone that's on and off working inconsistently. That's just how it happens.
Yeah.
Giving yourself a self-propel in the right direction. How did you begin to practice this ideology? And did that come with a mentor, or is that something that you just had, you know, flick on one day and it's just all made sense?
You know, it was really a balance of both. I've had a lot of mentors and coaches throughout this journey that I've been on. But I've also taught myself some things as well through reading material, books, listening to podcasts. And it all just kind of compiled together that, you know, to really go after things that you want, you have to take the necessary steps. And that involves, you know, the education, that involves putting money out there for certain things, you know. You know, it's crazy to me to think that people don't hesitate to spend any kind of money on college. They're spending $50,000, $100,000 a year to go to school.
Yep.
But then when it comes to the self investment, like for what I do with real estate, I bought a course for $16,000. You know, not too many people will go out and do that. But the thing about it is, school didn't teach me anything but how to party and how to network.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got out, I was like, well, this ain't working, because I knew what I didn't want to do, you know, the whole 9-to-5 thing. So I reverse engineered that. Well, if I don't want to do the whole 9-to-5 thing, what do I want to do? And I knew real estate was a way to earn passive income, but also help my future self, because I've seen a lot of successful people be involved in real estate. And, you know, it's all in a matter of who are you getting your information from.
Yep.
I always relay this back to some of my students in my coaching program. It's like, if you want to be a pro basketball player, you're not going to go to Tony Romo for advice. You're going to go to LeBron James or Michael Jordan or somebody in that field.
Exactly. So
when you have the Joneses, your neighbors or your parents who aren't the people you want to be, then their information on about money, about freedom, is, you know, not valid.
Wow, that's so true. So true, man. And I've actually never heard it put in that way. And that's so logical. And that actually reminds me, it's like we're just connecting some dots out here, man. It just so happens that I was watching a video by this YouTuber named Jade Daraswarma. I don't know if that's how you say her last name, but she's a 17-year-old social media guru is what she calls herself. And she's interviewing the CEO of Blind, which is a design company based in New York, I want to say. And they've designed for Nike. They've designed for the Super Bowl and Fox NFL. They've designed for like these crazy companies. And they say that they don't even talk to a client if the offer is less than $300,000. It's like, yo, that's what's up. At 17, she's talking to her. I mean, she's talking to this guy, but she's asking questions, and she's like, well, what books are you reading? Like, anything popping up right now? And he said, yeah, I'm reading this book called Defeating Your Inner Critical Voice. I can't think of the author's names right now, but I believe it's called Defeating Your Inner Critical Voice. And what that book is about is every repressed memory that we subconsciously have in ourselves from when we were children manifesting in our adulthood, and how to identify these situations, how these situations affect who we are now, and how to prevent these situations from having any manifestation in the future. And he goes into detail saying how, you know, when we're 6, 7, 8 years old, we view our parents as perfect, and anything that we get disciplined for, we did wrong. You know, there's no possibility that one parent could be having a bad day, comes home from work, and that's why they beat you that day, not because you did anything wrong. So that could be attributed to why you have low self-esteem, things like that.
I see. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Right. And these are things that, like, you don't even remember. That's the craziest part to me. But are so ingrained in your subconscious to the point that you don't even need to remember them actively to be affected by them.
Yeah. I don't know too much about that. I do know that one of my business partners pays roughly $60,000 a year for coaching just on that. Yeah, talk about investment in yourself. But you know, I've seen him grow from, you know, like last year, you wouldn't be able to recognize who he is now from if you knew him last year, you know. So I definitely see a shift, but you're right. I mean, we're growing up in a way that we're ingrained in our own beliefs through the way we grow up, through our parents, through the school system. And you get out to real, you know, to the real world, and it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. That's facts. That's facts, man. And not to be kind of cliche, but ultimately, what's your end game, man? Like, what do you find your ultimate passion is in life, and what do you want to do for the rest of your life?
You know, I really have a passion for helping other people and serving them. I know there's a lot of people in poverty, and they don't, you know, they just don't have that either ambition or motivation to try to get out of the struggle and make something out of their lives. Mm-hmm. So I want to be that person to shine the light on them and let them see that they can really do anything they want to do. But it all starts with their mindset and just take action, you know. So my end game is really to be able to have enough freedom to be able to give back and serve, but also to travel, you know, see places I've always dreamed about going. And ultimately, I just want to retire, you know, in my 30s. And when I say retire, it's more like having more options, having a choice to go to work, and work meaning for my own company. You know, I want choices to be able to decide if I want to show up or not, not having to show up. You know, so ultimately when I get to that point, I can do the things that I want to do, you know, like give back, travel, learn a couple of new languages, you know, whatever it is, golf. I know that's a big thing for me. Definitely get some season tickets to the Cowboys game, you know. Got to see the boys play. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many things to do down the road. You know, right now I'm really just thinking about the next couple of years ahead of me and what I can do to set myself up. Because with every seed that you plant, you've got to nurture it, water it. It's got to get some sunlight, you know. It's got to take time to develop. So I'm looking 2 to 3, 4 years out versus 10, 20. But I do know that sometime in my 30s that I like to be able to have, you know, just be completely free.
That's really something that's special. And I think that's really something that, unfortunately, so many people still don't even begin to contemplate is that something that is a possibility. It's like, in order to even have that idea in your mind, you have to be someone that isn't content with being complacent. And complacency is so common, man. In fact, even being in Harrisburg, like every second that I'm here, I just feel like the town is so slow, and you go to Lancaster and the countryside and it's so slow out there, and there's no energy. It's not New York City. It's not Manhattan, Times Square, Brooklyn, where it's all bustling and hustling and there's neon lights and honking cars, and there's not all this excitement and people getting somewhere with a purpose. It's fields, and I think that slows me down, man.
Right, and the beauty about life is you can change that tomorrow. You know, you don't have to wait for the green light. And that's what I try to harp on people is, you know, wherever you are in life, what's beautiful about life is you can change tonight. You know, it may take you a couple of years to get to where you want to be, but you can start changing your routine, the people you hang around, your habits, if you don't, you know. But this is for somebody who's always complaining about just money issues. You know, if you're happy making 40, 50,000 a year, you know, that's all you can ask for. But my message is to people who aren't happy, who are always complaining, who hate Friday, or, you know, who hate Mondays. They look forward to Fridays. And it's just a never-ending cycle, you know, because Monday will always come back around. You know, for me, I love Mondays because it's my day one of the week to reset, to look back on the week before and just ask myself, reflect, how can I do 1% more this week than I did last? You know, so I think it all starts with the mindset. A lot of people just, they don't have that proper mindset, and it's hard to explain, but I know that when you do adopt that level of thinking, it's just a night and day kind of flip. It's just a switch that goes off in your head, and you begin to see opportunities versus obstacles.
Right, man. That's huge. That's so huge. And why have an obstacle in front of you when there's already so many mental obstacles in the first place? Do you have a voice? You know, and that might even be a whack question because most likely everyone deals with that. But how do you combat the voice in your head if you have one that's saying, you know, you're going to do that? Like the doubt that just kind of sparks up whenever you know that you're bound to do something great.
You know, I was taught by a mentor a while back ago when he has those negative thoughts, just say cancel out loud. So that's what I'll literally do, say cancel wherever I'm at and start begin thinking on what I got going on in my future, you know, because and I've always heard that for those people who want to get out of debt, mm-hmm. don't focus on getting out of debt because you're just bringing that negative energy onto you. Instead, you need to focus on how can I earn more money that will in turn get me out of debt.
Right.
So for example, when you start thinking of more ways to earn more money, you're not thinking about getting out of debt. You're now looking for ways to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just been the biggest thing for me. I am human. So I do have a lot of negative thoughts that just come in and out throughout the day.
Definitely.
But all I'm going to do is just cancel and move on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature to get those thoughts and just have them loom around. But in the end, I know that it's just a test and I'm going to conquer that battle.
Definitely. Every time. And that just takes practice, man. Now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely easier to say, because you can really get into some doubt, into frustration, depression, even. But sometimes you just got to like change that state of mind. You know, you can't just sit there and dwell on it. You have to get up, go outside, go work out, go shoot some hoop, whatever it is, do something different. Because the longer you dwell on it, the more and more you're just going to go in that downward spiral. And you know that that's not good for you or the people around you, because then you can't serve, you can't help. You're not the same, you know, son, the friend, daughter, whoever it is, you're not that same person. So mm-hmm. you need to snap out of it. And of course, super easy to say, to sit here and say it versus actually doing it.
Right.
But I think the one key is to just do it.
Yeah.
Don't think about it, you know.
Analysis paralysis is what I hear is right. called.
Yep. And that's what I had back 2 years ago when I started real estate, you know. I did not fathom in my head owning, you know, 5 properties at the age of 22.
Right. And
as that's a really big accomplishment to a lot of people my age and the people outside looking in, to me, it's just a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know there's so much more out there. But starting, you know, buying into that real estate course for $16,000, I didn't have the money. But I figured out a way to use credit cards to buy myself some time. You know, so I realized that if I could just pay $100 a month to this credit card, I could at least learn this knowledge now. And you know, the thing about knowledge is when you have it, you don't lose it. So mm-hmm. it's always there with you forever. So you can just keep doing it over and over again. So I was like, well, I can make this money back. Let me just take a chance because I'm young. I have time to rebound, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I took a chance, went for it, and now I own 5 properties, and now I try to help other people do the same because it's all the same method. You know, once you get one property, the second 3, 4, 5 is all the same, you know, same method. So I've got to a point now where we're looking more for apartment deals.
Right.
You know, we're not entertaining anything under $1 million. Because we have money to back it up, and it's not our money, it's money through other, you know, just relationships.
Mm.
So, you know, that's another big thing talking about real estate still. A lot of people will not even start because they count themselves out before they even get in, meaning they say, oh, I have bad credit. Oh, I don't have any money. You know, well, 4 of the 5 deals that we did, we didn't put a single dime out of our pockets to get into these deals. And yet we cash flowed on day one. We had $50,000 worth of equity to play with to go buy more deals or pay back the people who loaned us the money.
Mm.
That's the thing. Like, had I stopped myself and said, no, I can't buy this course, I don't have money. Or, no, I can't buy this deal, I don't have money. I figured out how can I. And right. That's the biggest thing is, you know, the most common word the 95%, you know, society mm-hmm. will say is I can't. So if you can change that, if, you know, if you can turn it around and say, how can I, you begin thinking of ways, you know, just imagine a brick wall in front of you. You know, mm-hmm. you as an entrepreneur, you're going to figure out how to get through it, how to get under it, how to get around, over, whatever it is, you're getting on the other side of that brick wall.
Right.
The entrepreneurs are standing there looking at the brick wall and they're being, oh man, I can't do this. Let me go down another path. Well, then they get to another brick wall, you know? So it's like, it's mm-hmm. always something that's going to come up, always a challenge, but at some point you got to separate yourself. And that's what I did.
That's honestly, bro, I can't say I've talked to anybody else around our age that has one owned property before, and two, I mean, is already talking this grand of scale with deals and has this reputation built up already, man. You honestly deserve huge, huge props and kudos, man, because you're coming so fast and so far already, bro. And like you said, it's only the beginning.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, it's only the beginning. I'm 25 right now. In 5 years, it's, you know, I plan to own $100 million in real estate, and you think, well, that's far out of reach, but right now we already own a quarter of $1 million. We're 99 million away, but that's not the point. Once you get started and rolling, you build momentum, you mm-hmm. know? So we started with the smaller deals, but now here, like about a month ago, we're putting in offers on buildings downtown worth $5 million. You know, so two of those, that's 10. Now we're a tenth of the way there, you know, so never underestimate yourself, because $100 million may seem like a lot to you right now, but in real estate, that's 10 million dollar deals away. So within 5 years, I'm hoping to really just excel what I'm doing. I do travel a lot. I go to events, I network, you know, so I have people to call on for capital. When need be, but the, you know, kind of what I do to differentiate myself is when I meet these people, mm-hmm. I just hit them up when I need something. You know, I always look to see how I can be of service to them, and I always build rapport.
Right.
Because one thing I don't want to do is come out of the blue when I need something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a little system down where I'll, you know, follow up with them each month, maybe, and just, you know, it's over 50 people all throughout the U.S., some in, you know, other countries, but it's just a simple follow-up email. Hey, how's it going? Just checking in. What's new with, you know, whatever it is, but it's me following up and building that rapport, building trust, relationship, because when it comes down to it, people aren't interested in the deal. They're interested in who you are and if they trust you.
Yep. It always comes down to that, man. Even with music, I'm just going to reference that because that's what I'm
mm-hmm.
pursuing actively right now. Like, the crazy thing is, and I'm partially in this crowd too, is a lot of us think on such a grandiose scale when it comes to what we need to do in order to get success. But Ryan Leslie, who used to make music with Kanye, and like, he's a solo artist, really low key now because he got his own fan base and he's making money and he's making well over six figures every year, but you never will see him on Apple Music charting ever, but he's doing his thing. And how is he doing his thing? Well, the 1000 to 100 rule, right? Have you heard of that before?
I have not. What was it called?
Yeah. The 1000 rule. I'll just say 1000 rule because, okay. 100 is a part of it, but, most people, well, I've heard it. This is called the 1000 rule. So the 1000 rule is simply, if you have 1000 people willing to spend $100, then you've made six figures in a year. You've already made
Yep.
All it takes is $1,000, 1000 people to spend $100. That's all it takes. And I know, like, me saying that, like, I have 1000 people just ready to spend $100. It sounds kind of
mind-boggling, but that's the reality of the situation, and that's even a ticket if that's you getting big enough, and then you being able to headline a decent sized venue, you could charge $100 per ticket. Definitely get in there. I mean, Drake is charging well over $100, and it doesn't even have to be $100 per ticket. That could be $30 ticket, $60 hoodie.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's so many ways to monetize, but yeah, first you've got to do what you do and build your personal brand. You have to build an audience, somebody that wants to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have people that know, like, and trust you. You know, it's not all about money, but it's about what are you doing to create your future. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do to monetize. But maybe is it providing value? Is it selling merchandise? You know, I've always heard the saying, you know, help as many people as you can, and you will be taken care of as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, heard that too, and I trust and believe in that too, man. And here's something else for you too. I was watching 19 Keys, who is a member of the Nation of Islam, and he is about 104K followers deep now, I want to say, on Instagram. Spoke to him on the phone, had him on one of my podcast episodes, actually. And he was just talking about how biologically, right, if you connect it back to us as mammals, as humans,
mm-hmm.
the man is created to give. A man give, a woman's purpose is to receive biologically to conceive, right, a child. That's the role in nature. The woman receives, the man gives. It's inherited in our DNA that men are supposed to give.
Mm.
Be the happiest men, right? What are the happiest men that you see in magazines and that are rich and lavish and famous? What are they always doing? They're giving.
Giving, yep.
Giving. Giving, bro. Bill Gates giving tons and tons and tons.
Right, speaking about giving, I mean, that's another thing you asked me earlier. You know, what do you do to snap out of it when you do have negative thoughts and you're in
mm-hmm.
a drought, so to speak? You know, I'll try to find a way to give back, you know, because ultimately that's going to, you know, and maybe I may be wrong for saying this. I know some people kind of have issues with this, but when I give back, I get some sense of kind of a high that I'm doing a deed of service, which is a negative connotation to some people, you know, that I'm doing it to get myself feeling good too.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's only how you look at it. But ultimately I want to do my job and help somebody, you know, help somebody out.
Yeah, dog. 100%. And only honestly, only someone stupid would try and be like, oh, you're doing this to feel better about yourself. Like,
right.
You know, it's not even.
And there are those people out there.
yeah, exactly. And like, why do people need to go out of their way to disrupt people sometimes? Like, the fact that divorce is more than 50%.
I'll tell you why, because it's human nature to bring somebody down. I was once told this case study where you put two crabs in a bucket. Hold on, let's back that up. You put one crab in a bucket at the beach.
Okay.
That crab will manage to get out. However, you put two crabs, nobody's leaving, because as soon as that one crab is trying to go out, the other crab is going to bring him back down.
Mm.
So try this to, you know, don't quote me here. As I heard this, and I thought it was a really good correlation in between what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes a lot of sense, you know, because as soon as you start building momentum, doing really good, you have people out there that you thought was close to you trying to bring you down because they want you to be back on their level.
And that's the wildest part, man. The wildest part. It makes you wonder. Now, oh, go ahead. You about to say something?
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm listening.
So something that I struggle with a lot, and a lot of people might hear this and be like, what, Alex, really? Like, no way. I honestly struggle with choosing who to trust because I have an idea in the sense of the back of my head all the time that anybody can turn on me. And I don't know if it stems from like how my mom is always looking over her shoulder and everything, or if it's
something that I should really be living like, it's hard to really be 100% confident in people that I meet from, like, I don't know, an environment where I don't get the chance to even do anything with them. Like, bro, the fact that we got to chill after work, that was super clutch. Like, that just kind of solidified everything for me. But, like, how can you have people in your entourage that you don't completely trust? Like, that's just so bug to me.
Right. You know, and I think it starts with trusting yourself. Because once you trust yourself, you will start attracting the right people. And I've learned that over the years is, you know, I've stopped chasing people. And I just let people come into my life who needs to be. And those are the people I try to hang around and be around. But, you know, you can't sit there and dwell on it. You got to move on. But ultimately, you got to, and it, again, it's easy to say, but you just got to attract the right people by doing you and being you.
That's fact. And it honestly does happen. A lot of these things sound like something you might see on a poster board in third grade, right? But the things that you would see and that you would see as quote unquote cliche, I mean, those are the statements that ring the most true.
Yep.
And honestly, bro, like, I think, and I'll ask you what your biggest lesson that you think you may have learned recently in an entire life, in I should say all encompassing areas and aspects of your life. For me, man, and let me not forget it. Oh man. It's all good. It'll come to me. But what do you think the most important lesson is that you learned this, like, recently? I mean, I'd even say this year, last year, that's really changed, I would say, all aspects in your life.
You know, so if I have a list of 10 things to do, and I want to do these 10 things by Friday, right. One thing I learned is to not beat myself up if I don't get to it. You know, because you are your worst enemy sometimes, but you can also be your best friend. So you need to stay trusting yourself. And the moment you beat yourself up, you start spiraling downward into a, you know, a negative effect. So one thing that's helped me is just to be okay with it. You know, it is what it is. It's reality. I can't go back and do these 10 things, but I'll tell you what, before I add any more tasks to that list, I'm going to complete the ones I already, you know, wrote down first. That's just one thing. You know, there's many areas in my life that I learned to where I can just better myself and grow. And a lot of it's just finding that routine, getting into something. You know, one thing that I've really been trying to work on, which is the hardest for me to do, is wake up early enough to get my day started, go to the gym, go work out. But I realize I'm not going to get to that every day. So I have to not beat myself up about it. Instead, just keep working to improve. You know, it's always a work in progress. And to be honest, I don't even know why I try to set that goal and trying to get up. Maybe because I've always heard that, you know, the early bird gets the worm, whatever. But what I thought was, it's how you're effective with the hours you're awake. Are you being effective in your work, in your community, in your personal life, the waking hours that you have?
Right. Right. And it's remarkable, man. It's really remarkable once you start looking at time in the sense of, man, I'm bored, or, man, this day is going slow, to, okay, I have X amount of minutes left. What am I going to do here? How am I going to capitalize and utilize this time?
Right. And the thing about it is, you don't know what X is. It could be tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it could be a couple of years. You know, a family member could throw you a curveball and could be tomorrow. You know, so another thing, going back to your question, is because I'm thinking of it now.
Yeah.
I just try to remain grateful and blessed, because I know there are thousands of people that want to be in the spot that I'm in. And I know that I want to be in the spot that somebody's above me in. But I know with where I am in life, that I've got to just wake up every day and be grateful for the things that I have, the materials, the family, the food on my table, because a lot of people don't have it, you know. And I try to spread that message to other people who are always complaining about things. And I'm like, well, just be glad you get to complain about that thing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really about perspective, you know, honestly. It's how you look at things, because you can always you can change your perspective on a dime just by changing a few words or a few way, you know, just the way you look at something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perspective is everything. And being able to be in control and to look at something in a light of benefit or a light of positivity, bro, it's that simple. And it just changes everything. Now, here's something that we didn't touch on, and I think this is extremely important, and I'm happy that we talk about it. In Income Story, we talk about it at my young adults group. When it comes down to the purpose and why, when you started to discover your purpose, right, like, it began to make sense now, and you started feeling fulfilled in everything that you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how does one start to find their purpose, man? Because I think that's a lot of people's questions that they're not really receiving an answer to. So what would you suggest in that?
So you have to get really clear. And just because I'm saying this doesn't mean it's the right or wrong way. But mm-hmm. just as my opinion, you know, you have to get clear on what it is you want to do and why you want to do it. You know, for me, I want the freedom. But it's not just the freedom. I want the freedom because X, Y, Z. Because so I can give back, so that I can help my family members or be more around as a family guy, because so I can have season tickets to the Cowboys game. It's right. not just freedom that I want, but you always got to add that because in, because, you know, and I'm still working on my purpose and my why. You know, it's always a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just get started on that, and because if you just make it about yourself, you're going to give up too easy. You know, right. when things get going hard, it's easier to give up when it's all about you. So mm-hmm. I always turn the focus on other people. I think that I would be doing a disservice to many, many people down the road right. if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing now, because I know that I'm eager to help. And there's other people out there like me who will do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But just the people I make and touch on a few years down the road, that I just want to be able to help and provide a future or a journey for them to get on.
Definitely.
I just feel like it'd be a disservice not to do what I'm doing. So it just goes back to turning the focus on other people and not you.
Definitely, man. Well, we're coming down now to about 40 to going on the 45-minute area. I don't know how much time you have, so I'm just going to ask a few final questions, and feel free to take as much time as you would like to elaborate on anything, man, because I have the amount of time in the world as whatever you need. So with that being said, just, you know, feel free to take your time and think about anything. But in the sense of problems in the world, right, what do you think the biggest problem is, in your opinion, and how do you think you could make an impact in changing it?
You know, there's many, many problems, but one that just kind of come up to my mind real quick is there are too many people keeping up with the Joneses
mm-hmm.
and too many people trying to impress people that don't even care about them.
Mm.
So therefore they're blowing money on things that they don't need. And that's easy for me to say because I'm real frugal.
Yep.
But, you know, ultimately it comes down to just trying to impress somebody who doesn't care about you. And the problem with that is you know, just people spending money when they could be investing it, setting themselves up for the future. Mm-hmm. But again, all these people are not business oriented like I am. So it's easy to speak on. You know, I think the media and the news has a really negative connotation to a lot of people watching it. You know, every time right. I don't really do TV unless it's sports, mm-hmm. but I know that every time it's on, like in my parents' house or something, it's always something negative. And I just asked, like, why are you always consuming negativity?
Yep.
And I don't get it, because it's all about murders or fires or somebody dying, you know, whatever it is, it's all negative. Mm-hmm. And I don't do all that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I agree, man. I ain't one for the news.
Right. Yeah.
No one for the news at all, man.
For sure.
All right. Well, that I appreciate that response. My next question, man, is how do you stay motivated to be consistent, bro? Because I think that's a lot of people's struggles too, and that could be attributed to many reasons. Whether that's them being impatient, them not having, or I should say, making time, or them, I should say, feeling like their quality of whatever they're doing is bad and lacking the belief in themselves.
You know, there's a lot of things going around on social media that get rich quick, and that's really not as true as people make it to believe.
Right.
You know, if you really have dedication and consistent, persistent pursuit, you can get there quicker than others. But what turns down a lot of people is that they think they're getting into something that's get rich quick type of thing, and then they find out that there's challenges and roadblocks and obstacles to get around and over, then they stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the thing that keeps me going is just how, like, there's a story of a man doing 1,000 kicks one day for, you know, I'm trying to see how to say it. There's a man out there. Would you rather do 1,000 kicks one day or a kick for 1,000 days? And right. Doing one kick for 1,000 days is being consistent, because if you're trying to do all in that one day, all 1,000, that one kick or in that one day, then by the time you get to 200, 300, 400 kicks, you're not giving it your all because you're already tired. You know, you're worn out, you're fatigued.
Yep.
But if you look at it from a standpoint of one kick for 1,000 days, how can I do this one thing today? Even if it's 15, 30 minutes, how can I take one step forward today that's going to set me up for tomorrow?
Mm.
And, you know, I'm human again, so I still, there's still maybe some days where I don't do any kind of work. I maybe try to, you know, take a break or something. But I'm always thinking about my next move. I'm always thinking about the work that I could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but staying consistent is key. And you just gotta do it. I mean, there's no other way around it but just doing it. And even if it's 15, 30 minutes, just do something small and simple to keep that momentum going.
Right. Yeah, consistency, man, it's a lot of people's downfalls. And I think once you have consistency down, you've really made about 80% of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Victory.
Well, you know, for me, I always talk about this on social media, you know, spark your curiosity, because when you're curious about something, you naturally want to look into it, you know, want to look into it further.
Fact.
Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, when I first started real estate, I was doing something every day to keep learning. You know, it wouldn't work to me. It was like, what can I just keep digging up? Because I found out that I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
And going back to what I didn't know, you know, it takes me back to a time when I used to hate reading books.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I got out of school, I read one book, and that was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Mm.
And at the time, I was a manager at a fast food chain, you know, that I was working throughout high school, college, you know, just get a little paycheck here and there.
Right.
But I was a manager, so I was of influence to people. And when I read this book, it changed everything I was doing at work, from my approach to people, how I talk to people. And in turn, that was increasing productivity, increasing numbers, increasing the easiness it was for me. You know, so I was like, whoa, what? If I can apply this from one book, what else is out there?
Right.
You know, what else can I get my hands on? If I can just read one book and go through it and apply the principles, what it taught me, and notice a change, I knew there was more out there. So I was always digging up stuff. So it was just naturally inclined for me to want to look into something. So I really didn't have to force myself, because I was curious.
Mm. I think sparking that curiosity is major, man. And that's something that it's not really taught to you.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of these things in the idea of being successful, they're not really taught to us, man. So then it makes you wonder, well, what did I spend first through 12th grade doing?
Exactly. You know, a lot of people, they're waiting for that care package to drop out of the sky that says change on it.
Yep.
When in reality, it's up to you. You know, you control your own destiny and you have to change.
Yep. There's no way around it, like you said. And I think, and this is a quote from Mark Twain too, where he said, on looking back, and that definitely isn't verbatim, but pretty much he said, looking back, I realized that every problem I thought I had was never really a problem.
Right. It was your mind just limiting you. You know.
Yep.
That the mind is powerful. I mean, man, my partner spending that kind of money on a coach that does all about the mind and the brain, it really just opens you up, and you see that there's no door or obstacle to get into. You're just creating that illusion in your head.
Right. It's all about creativity at the end of the day. I mean, whoever the most creative person is who will always succeed. I mean, hard work is great too, but it's always been about smart work and not hard work. That's right. Always been the saying, at least that I've been hearing too, and you could probably attest to that. Work smarter, not harder. Well, goes back to, or who are you competing with? What are you doing? It goes back to the why. Well, am I making music so that one day I can say I compete with Metro Boomin, or am I making music because it's really what I love to do and it's something I thought I could never do, but by teaching myself how to do it, I learned it, and now I believe that I can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is it? Is it something that is stuck with me, or is it something that's only temporary?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's a big issue just with our decade and our generation, I should really say, just with. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking with a guy on Facebook the other day who was interested in signing up for my coaching program. And it's like, I was like, what do you do? He said, I'm a cook and a dishwasher at a restaurant. I said, well, why are you doing that? He said, man, it's reality. I said, no, that's not reality. That's you putting that on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, man, come on. Like, so many people are in that mindset that I think it's up to us to change that for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It makes you wonder, like, when you're going through and changing so many people's mindsets, it makes you wonder how your mindset changed in the first place. Because when material possessions don't mean anything to you anymore, bro, you feel like there's no strings on you.
Yeah.
You feel free. You feel liberated when you find jeans that cost $12. You don't feel embarrassed anymore.
Yeah, that brings up another point. You know, I was at a friend's house the other day, and this friend is working two jobs, you know, struggling to make ends meet. And he is dressed to impress. And here I'm in just simple jeans, a t-shirt, a hat, you know, whatever it is. But if somebody walked through that door, they would instantly label that guy as, oh, like him, my friend, that this guy has a lot of money versus me not having a lot of money, when it's really the, you know, exact opposite. It's just this guy's dressing to impress. And I'm like, man, that's why you're struggling with money, because you're buying nice watches, nice chains, you know, nice $100 plus jeans. And here I'm just in a plain Jane t-shirt with some jeans on, you know. I'm doing me.
Yep.
Exactly. And that's one thing I realized too, is to not really care about what other people think, because 5 years from now, they're not going to matter anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's real talk, man.
Real talk.
Well, any closing thoughts, man? Any thing you want to touch base on, you think, that we may not have discussed?
I do just want to say in closing here that to the people listening, at least, that, you know, you can do so much more than what you think you can do. It's just society has put onto us in the school system that we need to pass it. You know, we need to study this for this test and pass it. when in reality, you need to be doing the things that you want to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I had wished that I didn't take high school so seriously. Because looking back, you know, school was set up for an employee.
Yep.
I'm not trying to become an employee. I want to hire employees. You know, so I just want to leave with, you know, don't underestimate yourself and never make the excuse is of, you know, I don't have money. Because going back to when my journey first started, I didn't have $8,000 to put down on a course, but I made it happen somehow. You know, and had I not did that, I may have gone back to my house after that event and started doing the same things I just did, you know, or was doing previously.
Right. And
then nothing would have changed, you know. So sometimes you got to take that step forward. You got to just trust the process. For me, after spending $8,000 on a course, I knew I had to make something happen. So there was a little bit of motivation behind some of the actions that I did and took. But you just got to go for it and do it. You know, I'm sitting here sputtering and yapping, but just do it.
No, you're right, man. You're right. That's real talk. That's real talk. Anything else?
You know, I do have something that I want to touch on, and I'm really glad that I ran across you and met you just for one day. Like I said at the beginning, that I feel like we're, you know, really close now.
Oh, but yeah.
We only met each other one day, one time.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, but I think it's just the like-minded people connect real well, and they vibe, and you know, just good vibes. You know, they vibrate on the same frequency.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, man. If you are listening and you are interested in real estate, I do have a course or a program. I'd rather do the one-on-one coaching program because I can take you through the same steps that I went through. And I want to kill every belief, disbelief that you have about real estate, about money, about mindset, because I debunk the myth of needing money to buy real estate. So if you do want help out there, you can find me on social media, or you can go to my website, CodyDover.com. I'm sure Alex will have this in the show notes, but you know, my Instagram and Facebook is where I do a lot of stuff too. And you can find me there, Cody.Dover on Instagram. And when you find me, just, you know, connect with me, DM me and say, hey, I heard your podcast from Alex's show.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, chop it up. Let's talk.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm glad you touched base on it because I was going to bring that up next. So
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. And I will be touching base on that course whenever I get some time. As well, and I got a friend that is interested, so you already got two confirmed right here.
Of course, man. I love to help because I know that I'm going to be there for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to motivate or inspire. I want to get you results.
Back.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you just gotta buck up sometimes and pay the price, but, you know, I had to pay to play. I expect all y'all to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just to protect both of our times. You know, they say if you don't pay, you don't pay attention. You know, like I said, I had some motivation after spending $8,000. I had to do something quick. So what I do, I learned everything I could to go get a deal. And, you know, I got a deal, did it over and over again. You know, so it's all a process, but you got to go through it first.
Right, and trust it.
Trust the process.
Mm-hmm. That's right, man. Rings true. Well, thank you so much for your time, dog.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm going to get so many good positive comments on this episode. I'm going to be like, yo, you got somebody on there that owns real estate, bro? What? Like, this guy, he's got it all figured out, man. Like, I can't.
Hey, yeah, see, that's one thing. That's one thing. I don't want to know everything because then I'll be plateaued.
Right.
I won't have no room to grow. So mm-hmm. I don't wanna be the know it all, but I do know what I know to this point.
That's right, man. That's right. A wise man knows that he does not know everything.
There you go. Well, yeah, man. Hope to see you soon.
Definitely.
We need to collaborate some time, get some video in.
Yeah, yeah, man. That'll definitely happen. So no problem there. And we'll definitely be in contact soon, my guy.
Sounds good, man. Well, I appreciate it. Let's kill it, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you again for your time, boss. And peace out. Have a good one tomorrow, man.
Peace.
Peace out.
Also, I forgot to mention one little thing. My man Cody, before he hung up, had one last thing to say to all the single ladies out here. These exact words: I'm single, but married to my business. So if you want to hop on board, you got to be about it. Hey, man, I feel that 100%. If y'all out here trying to be with a successful dude, y'all got to have that successful mindset yourselves. So ladies, make sure you on the same type time, yo. But all right, y'all, get out of here. Peace.